Hey, this is Thomas Q. Jones, former UVA All-American running back, and you're listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Wahoo! Wah.
Welcome to another edition of our Good Health Podcast here on the Jerry Ratcliffe Show podcast, along with my co-host Chris Graham, and we try to bring this to you every week, all about your health, getting fit, staying fit. If you get an injury, where to go, what to do about it, how long it might take to recover, all sorts of stuff that you probably wouldn't find out otherwise. So, without further ado, let's bring on one of our great doctors over at UVA Orthopedics, who's on our show. We rotate the doctors every week, and we thank them for that. They are one of our sponsors, along with ACAC and Ragged Mountain Running and Walking Shop. Let's bring on Dr. Winston Guathme of UVA Ortho. Winston, how are you?
We're doing great. Thank you for having me, Jerry.
Thanks for joining us again. You've been on quite a bit, and we appreciate the insight you give our listeners.
I really enjoy doing this, so thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's. I know we're going to talk about cartilage in a few minutes. A lot of people don't know much about that, including myself. But we wanted to start off the show revisiting the rib injuries because that's very topical in Wahoo Nation right now. Well, I know you can't talk about quarterback Brennan Armstrong, but you can talk about rib injuries in general. He suffered his a couple of weeks ago, and I think Dr. Deduck told us last week that it's rare for an athlete to miss more than 3 weeks, I think, if I remember correctly. I may be wrong about that. But, you know, depending on the type of injury, I guess determines how long a player is probably going to be out.
Yeah, so I would say that it's not just a type of injury, it's also the type of player. I mean, I'll give back a lot of credit. He's one of the toughest players I think I've ever run across, just from a grit and resiliency standpoint. So if anybody can sort of play through pain, it's definitely our quarterback. But the rib is a tough injury just by virtue of the fact that it's hard to protect it. You know, it's sitting in your chest wall there. And so anytime you get hit in the rib, or even when you take a deep breath or cough, it can create pain. And it's a pain you really can't escape from. It's right there, almost kind of in your soul, if you think about it. It's right there in the middle of your chest. So it's a tough injury to come back from.
I can only imagine. I've never, knock on wood, had a rib problem, so I can't relate. But it's got to be one of the more painful injuries, I would think, that you would get. Right?
It's hard to splint it. It's hard to protect it. You know, if someone like one of our wide receivers has an injury to his hand, you can sort of protect it with a brace or a splint. But you know, the rib is you really can't design a something that covers it in such a way that's going to protect you from, you know, aggravating it during the course of a game. I mean, you can certainly try, but you know, if it's big and bulky, you're going to restrict motion. If it's not, you know, protective enough, is not going to really have much point. So it's hard to protect it too.
Yeah, and I imagine defensive linemen or linebackers or safeties, whoever might be blitzing, are going to make a point of that too. So,
yeah, they certainly know that that, you know, hitting our player in the chest wall is going to invoke some pain. So you know, and that's where they're supposed to hit him anyways. All saw when he came out of the game against BYU, he was kind of pointing down the lower part of his left side of his chest. And so you certainly understand kind of where he's feeling it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else you want to cover with the ribs, or you want to jump into the cartilage?
Well, the other thing about the rib is, I mean, anybody who's ever, you know, the ribs are, they have muscles all around them. And so it kind of protects, you know, an injured rib is protected by the ribs around it. So, if you think about it, you know, the injured rib is actually protected by the rib above and below it. So they're actually kind of splinted. That's why you treat them pretty much conservatively and just let the body heal. And so hopefully this will heal fast and he'll get back to his full speed.
Yeah. And as much as the Notre Dame game would be great to see Virginia compete well in, certainly the two season-ending games against Pitt and Virginia Tech are more valuable in terms of the conference race, but something about playing Notre Dame that probably would bring out the best in somebody who's a competitor like he is.
Absolutely. And you remember the game a couple of years back when we had that, that the victory snatched from our jaws there at the very end. And, yes. You know, that was a tough kick in the pants from a standpoint of being a fan. So obviously we like to protect our home field and beating a team like Notre Dame, I think would really elevate this team to a different level. But honestly, this team is, we're in the thick of things for the ACC, so Pittsburgh coming in and then Virginia Tech, if you win those two games, this is the ACC championship caliber team. And so that's really, I think, really exciting for the team and for the players. And I guess the one thing you don't want to do when you're coming back from injury is aggravated to the point where you can't play the following week, if you think about it. And so
yes.
When you're in a position, you're always trying to balance, do you bring someone back or do you let it heal for longer so they're ready for the next game? And that's why it's a tough act when you're trying to figure out how to bring a player back.
Winston, I thought I'd ask. I've seen this thrown out on social media and maybe some message boards. Folks assume when you watch NFL, you hear about guys who have an injury and, hey, they'll just, give them a injection of some sort before the game, a painkiller maybe or something of that nature. This, if you were to do that with this kind of injury, it would seem like a really difficult thing to do because of the location for anyone out there, a basketball player, football player, whatever player, the location of a rib injury, lower or upper or whatever the case may be, it would seem to be difficult to help a person manage pain during a game or a contest of any kind because of the location.
Yeah, you're always trying to balance, if an intervention you do before a game is going to lead to further damage. And so the last thing you want to do is sort of numb up an area that, if further injury occurs to it, you could lead to worse injury down the road. So pain is there for a reason. It's there to tell your body you're injured. And so if you try to mask that from the brain, then you perhaps would add further risk. Now, this injury, a rib injury specifically, is not necessarily going to, be a lot worse by getting aggravated. But as you said, Chris, it's a hard place to, render numb, if that makes sense. It's hard to, the rib is, it's the entire side of the chest wall. It's not a specific place you can really make feel better. So, you can certainly give people anti-inflammatories, Tylenol, ibuprofen for a game to sort of take down the general level of pain. But to actually anesthetize this area would be very challenging.
Okay. That sums up that category pretty well, I think. Let's move along into cartilage, Winston. Something I guess most people don't know much about.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about cartilage because I feel like people have heard of cartilage. I hear people call it cartridge, other things, but what is cartilage? And I think that everybody knows your body is composed of bones. Your skeleton's got bones on it. But on the end of every one of your bones, you have this substance called cartilage, which is the smooth surface of the bone that allows your joints not only to have cushion in there, but also to be lubricated. And so, for instance, in your knee joint, on the end of your hard bone, you have a layer of cartilage there that really gives you cushion when you run, when you jump. And it's really important to the overall health of the joint.
Yeah, I can imagine. And, a lot of athletes, I guess, runners and other people too. At some point, I guess you can wear down your cartilage to where you really don't have any more. What do you do in that circumstance?
Well, that's what arthritis is. So again, just to kind of clarify what cartilage is, it's the actual cushion in between the bones inside your joint. So think about it when you're standing up, when you're standing there, your thigh bone, your shin bone have to have some cushion between them in order for them to be comfortable when you're standing. And so as that cushion starts to wear away, you get more and more friction inside that joint and sometimes even catching. And so when people start developing arthritis, that's when the cartilage itself is worn away. I think one misconception of cartilage is that, if I run too much or jump too much, I'm going to wear it away faster. When in fact, your cartilage receives its nutrition from motion in the joint. So movement actually nourishes it. And so exercise is by far the most important thing you can do for cartilage. And so it's not all mechanical. A lot of it's chemical as well. But really, honestly, the healthier joint really is dependent on the healthier cartilage.
So that's even more reason for you to go to ACAC.
Yeah, and I know that one of your sponsors is the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, and
yes,
and they, you know, runners, you know, a healthy lifestyle, you know, running, exercising really does do wonders for your joints. And people always ask me, you know, I've got a little bit of arthritis in my knee. Should I still run? And I always like to say that your body loves that motion. The question though is impact. Is the impact healthy? And I would say that your body can tolerate plenty of impact unless you start to have, I'd say, advanced cartilage wear or cartilage damage, in which case a lot of times we try to convert people to lesser impact activities, such as elliptical trainer or bicycling or something like that. But, you know, I think, you know, there's runners who run into their 60s and 70s whose knees look great. And so I don't think the actual act of running wears your knees out. In fact, it's the opposite. I think that running actually is very healthy for your knee.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. And I used to be a runner until I got some injuries myself. But yeah, that's very good to know, because I had no idea.
Yeah, so I definitely think that joint health is I'd say it's misunderstood as far as what makes a healthy joint. And a lot of it's healthy lifestyle as well, how you eat, you know, how you exercise, and just basically your overall lifestyle. So once you start losing cartilage, it's kind of like when you start losing your hair. It doesn't come back. I've learned that myself, sadly.
Got some of that too.
But for me, I just gotta put some sunscreen on the top of my head. But once you start losing the cartilage in your knee, then you start really having, you know, it can be really problematic. And so that's what arthritis is. And arthritis, it also gets a misconception, but arthritis basically is joint inflammation from a variety of different reasons. Most common cause by far is osteoarthritis, which is basically when your cartilage starts to wear down to the point where you're bone on bone. And that's when you start talking knee replacement and things like that.
Interesting.
Yep.
Chris, you probably got some pretty good cartilage because you run a lot.
Yeah.
It's
still there. The biking and running help. Yeah, no doubt. It is something that it feels springy in a good way. I was going to ask Winston, you know, changing the topic a little bit. How's the move going? We've talked a lot on the podcast the last few months about the pending move of UVA Orthopedics. You're in the middle of it right now.
Yeah. In fact, I've got a bunch of boxes in my office. This morning I went to my office and all my stuff was gone. And so I thought either I got fired or they moved me. So luckily I have a new office over here on Ivy Road in a great location. It's right down the street from UV Athletics. And so for me to get to the baseball stadium or to JPJ takes about 2 minutes. And so I think that the value of that for athletics programs, it cannot be understated. Our athletes can get in here within, you know, just a couple of minutes from the practice field. And so I look forward to be able to serve our athletes here as well as the patients in this community. It's just a great place to be. It's a beautiful building, beautiful building.
Are you operational there, or are you just in the process of moving and setting up?
I just got my computer plugged in. So I'm from a standpoint of answering emails, but we're not going to be seeing patients here until 2022. We're still over at the Fontaine offices for patients. And then all of our surgeries are over there at the Battle Building and over at the Man O'R still. But this is going to be up and running by July of 22, I believe.
Okay, cool. So you got plenty of time to settle in.
It's very cool.
Yeah. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff on that when it's that time. That's for sure. What an incredible facility that is for Charlottesville.
Yep. Very excited.
Anything else, Chris?
No, I think that covers it. I'm excited about the move too. New offices. You got a bare, we can see Winston right now as we're recording the podcast, bare walls, boxes everywhere. It's
So Chris, my 10-year-old daughter was in my office last night putting, you know, she's like, oh, I can't wait to decorate your office. I'm like, I'm not sure what I want. But I love a blank slate. That's for sure.
Yeah. She's got her work cut out for her. There's a lot of blank walls there. So she'll have an impact. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Very good. Very good, guys.
All right. Thank you, Winston. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, my pleasure. You have a nice day.
UVA Orthopedics and Sports Medicine boasts one of the finest teams of doctors in the country, and they're right here in Charlottesville to not only provide care for the University of Virginia athletic teams, but also the Charlottesville and Central Virginia communities. UVA Orthopedics has been a proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show for the past 2 years, with numerous team members featured in weekly segments where doctors share great insight into various sports injuries, what causes them, how to treat them, and recovery time. Their team of experts are there for you and offer the best care to solve your health problems and get you back on your feet. Let their team of specialists get you back in the game. Looking for a great dining experience in Charlottesville? Look no further than the Aberdeen Barn. The barn has been family-owned and operated since 1965, with Terry and Angela providing great atmosphere and mouth-watering food at Virginia's big-time steakhouse. Enjoy the fine dining or relax in the Sportsman's Bar, a fantastic place to wind down and socialize, surrounded by flat-screen televisions tuned to the latest sporting events. You never know who you might bump into at the Aberdeen Barn, where all the greatest Cavaliers have dined over the decades and keep coming back for the delicious menu and good times. Check it out online at aberdeenbarn.com or call 434-296-4630.
Now, let's begin our weekly running segment. All the running news from UVA and local high schools and the state of Virginia. With Ragged Mountain Running Shop guru, I like to call him, been here since 1982 and services the community, just a great community guy. Mark Lorenzoni, guru, how are you?
Okay, hope you guys are well. Yeah, good week, exciting week in our world, just a culmination of a long season with for cross country for both the UVA and the area high schoolers. And and get the biggest event of the of this marathoning season is tomorrow in Richmond. And I say biggest, it's the most number of locals that go down there. We have, oh gosh, probably 250 folks from the area going down to run the half and the full and the 8K. So exciting time. We're going to get some good weather tomorrow. So UVA had their regional meet on Friday morning this morning at Louisville. And had a solid showing, better than they had done at their previous meets, and certainly better than ACC's, and not quite good enough to get out to NCAA's. The men and women were both seventh, had strong performances up front by their bread and butter guy, Rohan Asfew, who was 23rd, but right behind him, Derek Johnson, was 25th, so those guys packed it in up front, the two guys. And then on the women's side, Margot Appleton, who's just a first year, I finished 26th overall for the, she's first in for Virginia. So it's a kind of bittersweet. They had solid meet, like I said, but it's not moving on from this point into the nationals, which you know, every then of course starts out that season. That's a not only hopeful to get to nationals, but to do some, you know, to have a good meet there. So anyway, we're on to planning for next year. They're a young team, and I'm excited about the future. And I, you know, we got the best, certainly one of the best coaches in the country here. So it'll come around. So, and then we had this state meet yesterday for the private schools. And as he's been doing all season, the phenom from Woodbury Forest, Merrick Kovacs, he won in the big division, the division one. So it was nice to have a local kid state champ. And then Maddie Gardner, who's just has been tearing it up all season from Covenant. She just in the division two had a spectacular time in 17. Oh gosh, I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say 17:23, something like that. And just a tremendous race. So congrats to her, two state champions from the area. And we hope to have some more tomorrow at the public school meets. They're in two different locations, single A through triple A will be in one location, and the 4A through 6A will be in a different. And we've got good representation. That Western boys, led by Owen Shiflett, got a great shot of winning. And the Western girls, led by Sadie Adams, And I don't know if Jenna will be back. Jenna Stutzman, she'd been out all season, but she was their top runner when she went down back in September. So if she's there, there'll be a good shot of them taking home the crown. And then Almore girls did so well at the regional meet, and led by Jenna Coleman, Kathy Kaufman's team. They look really good going to the state meet. And then Madison girls, Kate McLaren, coached by her grandfather, Al McLaren. Madison girls look to do some damage also. And then, of course, the CHS boys I talked about last week, the first time to the state meet in several decades. It's a big deal, led by Eli Cook, Ray Ackerbaum, and Jen Hochrein, and Elizabeth Jennings. Done a great job of coaching these kids this season. So that's a big deal. I talked to Rodney, read about it recently, just to get them there. It's such a great accomplishment. He's really pleased. And then Monticello has this kid, a comer, Basil Mathis, who wasn't even on the radar back in September, and now is one of the top runners in the area, certainly the top public school runner in the area. I'm going into this final race, so we'll see what he can do at this state meet. You know, looks like good weather.
I imagine a lot of these kids are going to get highly recruited, right?
Yeah, they'll all get recruited at some level if they're interested. Most of the kids show by the time they get their senior year, if they're this good, they're still hungry and interested in pursuing it. Whether it's Division One, Two, or Three, it's up to them. But yeah, they'll contribute somewhere if they choose to. Sadie Adams is a freshman, the girl I talked to you about from Western. So some of these kids are far from being age-wise, you know, recruitable. But I noticed Milestat, which is considered one of the go-to sites for high school running, they have Sadie Adams as one of the ones to watch as a hot freshman, you know, as a, what's his name? Oh, I'm tired today. I'm not the fellow from ESPN, Dickie Vitale, you know, Diaper Dandy. That's what
I love Dickie. He's Sadie Adams.
I used to remember Dick Vitale. You know me, I'm always off on a tangent, but when I was at Michigan State, he was coaching at University of Detroit.
Yeah.
And who would ever thought his career was going to be, you know, the animated announcer that he is. So anyway, he was a character back then. I was in the 70s. So exciting stuff tomorrow, and we wish all these teams the best. It's always a thrill to see so many of them get to the state meet. You know, it's a big opportunity and a big deal the kids have it the rest of their lives, which I love. I always remind these kids that, you know, they're in the moment to really enjoy it, try to take stock of what it is, get into the big dance. And you know, it's all about it really is a team concept sport. I can't think of any other sport. This is no slight to anything else where your number five runner is just as important to you as your number one, because if they go off the radar, you're dead. So you could finish literally 1, 2, 3, 4, but your fifth runner finishes 110th and you might not win the meet. So that's an exaggeration, but I love that part of it. I always say the caboose in cross country is just as important as the engine. So a really good coach, you guys, would be running around the course. And the races, the leaders are already in and they're out on the course. And you can always tell a good coach, they're screaming at their number five runner to move up, you know, pass a few more people, because as you guys know, low score wins.
Right.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, and then with Richmond, I coach a lot of local community marathoners. They have marathons. So our big day is tomorrow for a lot of them. And Cynthia and I are going down. I'm thrilled. I love being out there on the course cheering people on. Totally different game than, you know, cross country, but still a big deal. But just a tip to anybody listening, that this is an overall tip in general, and it's a really underrated concept, and it's recovery. So every sport believes in building recovery, not only into their practice regimen throughout the week, but after a competition. So obviously the football team is going to play tomorrow night, and they're probably not going to get up Sunday morning and have an all out, you know, pads on hard practice.
No, they'll take the recovery. Night. Yeah.
Yeah. And the biggest mistake made in marathoning, weirdly enough, is made after the race. I can get people completely through their training, and they're being really good listeners, real vigilant, and they don't get hurt. And then they go off the radar, they disappear, because I don't charge to coach. So there is a little disconnect sometimes in that, weirdly enough, that I won't hear sometimes from my marathoners immediately afterwards. And that they're missing an opportunity for me to remind them that the next 3 to 4 weeks, you need to be taking it low. You need to be running, but you need to be low mileage. So just had an example with someone recently. She's got, looks like a stress fracture. And she ran a marathon and she went right back into training and didn't listen to me. And, you know, end up getting hurt. So it really is critically important to recover. And so built into any given week, you have a hard day, easy day, but then there also needs to be recovery mode after your ultimate competition. So it's a good physical and spiritual way to you know, get yourself revamped, to heal up. So incredibly important. And I remember one time someone telling me, a guy who was a nationally renowned coach said, the single most important phase of any training cycle is recovery, because it's the first phase of your next training cycle. And a lot of people don't think of it that way. So they finish a marathon and think, oh, I'm done, so I can let my guard down. And so a week later, they're feeling pretty good. So instead of a 1 or 2 mile runs, they're running 5 mile runs, and they're actually shooting themselves in the foot, no pun intended, as they're getting ready for their next cycle. They don't think of it that way. They think they're in recovery, but really recovery is building the foundation for your next cycle. So very important. I mean, there's all kinds of cliches on race day that people know about: go out slow, you know, hydrate properly, pace yourself, all of those things. But what gets lost so often is this recovery. And the weirdest thing of all, you guys, you can feel great 1 week after the marathon. You can feel like you can go out and do another one, and your body's just giving you it's phantom. It's false readings. It takes about 9 to 11 weeks to fully restore your body after a hard marathon. And that doesn't mean 9 to 11 weeks of no running. It just means just no monkeying around again. So, I mean,
good advice. I never realized that.
Yeah.
How many, how many of people that went through your 10 miler training program are probably among those 250 in the Richmond Marathon tomorrow?
Well, it's interesting, Jay. We just kicked off the 10 miler training program a few weeks ago. And I was telling them as we kicked it off that on the other side of town, I had just had the end of the season for the marathon, half marathon training program, because they're now in taper time. And the point I was trying to make to them is that a bunch of you next year are going to be in that program, and a bunch of you next year will be running the Richmond Marathon. And they're like, oh, no way. You know, this is my first week. I'm just coming off the couch. So long-winded answer, probably the folks that were in the 10 miler training program last year, maybe of those, it might be 40 or 50 folks that 2 years ago, excuse me, because we didn't have a 10 mile training program with the pandemic, but
that's a lot. Yeah,
we are. It's really a fun progression to see people go from zero up to a 5K, up to a 10 miler. And then if I've done a good job as a coach, they're still showing interest. They'll say, I want to go ahead and go on to a marathon. So, cause you gotta have interest. If the desire's not there, again, cliche, but, you know, so particularly with distance running.
That's a real test for your body, if for sure.
Well, it's so mental, and it's a little bit like swimming. In fact, swimming and running, I use those together. There's no ball, there's no bat, there's no goal, there's no net. There's in soccer, in basketball, and football, there's constant stimulation. You're being stimulated over and over again. Each play, you reset. Every tennis, you know, okay, what's the score? Now you get to hit the ball again. In running, it's just 1 foot in front of another marathon. So it's about discipline and patience and redundancy. And so it doesn't mean it's a superior sport, but it does mean you better be all in, fully engaged, very much enjoying it, because it'll wear on you really fast if not.
Mental toughness.
26 miles is about from here at Ragged up to Madison High School. I mean, that's a long way.
Yes, it is.
UVA Rotunda to Madison High School. Come on, let's go, Jerry. Let's go for a run. So after about 8 miles, you're like, whew, I don't know about this. It sounded like a good idea. So got to be trained and got to be disciplined. It's a great, great, great accomplishment. And never gets old. Every time somebody runs their first marathon, I feel it's such a thrill to be their coach and to see what they get from it spiritually to accomplish that. So big deal.
Absolutely. Chris, you got anything?
It's the distance from my house in Waynesboro to JPJ, roughly. I've also made that because I make that drive a lot, and it feels like a decent drive. And then I remind myself I've run that distance at least three times. It does put perspective on that.
It's the beauty of it, Chris. It was, you know, Pheidippides died. You know, the Athens to Marathon legend. It was supposed to be a distance that man wasn't supposed to be able to handle. And so that drives us to the notion that we can do this, and then we can do it faster and better each time. But there's no way slicing and dicing it. It's still 26.2 miles, and that's a long way to run and to run sustained. So it's a big deal. And like I said, never gets old, never loses its luster. So
that's for sure. All right, Mark. Well, thank you for updating us on all the running community news.
I would just want to throw out a congrats to a lot of us, our good buddy John Freeman, on becoming the new voice, richly deserved. And it's really interesting. Many of the voices over the years have been people that really wanted that job, but it wasn't a lifelong dream to be the voice of the Cavaliers. John Freeman, it was a lifelong dream. And that's no slight to Dave or to Mac or Warren, all of the great voices we had over the years. But this guy grew up wanting to be the voice. And I think that's a real thrill to have someone in the booth that, you know, it's in his DNA. And he'll be a great ambassador for this university. He's just such a good guy. And he deeply cares. And I think UVA got a winner there. I think they hit it out of the park. And I think you said you might have a chance to get to do an interview with him, Jerry. I think that'd be great.
Yeah, I ran into him at the Navy-Virginia basketball game the other night and told him we'd like to have him on a podcast. So we're going to try to do that next week. And of all those guys you mentioned, that covers my lifespan as a sports writer.
I worked with all those guys. They're all good.
And the one thing about John is he's the only one that is local, grew up here, went to school here.
Went the Western Almaral, class president, wonderful guy. And then, you know, went to school at UVA. I don't think Mac or Warren or Dave went to school at UVA. And again, it doesn't make them not qualified. They were really superior voices. It's just, here's a guy that it's kind of a neat story. And to hear him say, you know, that this means the world. I remember this guy, Mike Fitch, years ago. He would tell me every year since high school that he wanted to win the 10 miler. I never heard anyone. He kept talking about it. And he would run it and he'd be fifth and he was sixth and he was third. And he did finally win it one year. And I remember the emotion inside of me. You can't ever be, as a race director, you can't be, you know, biased. But thinking, this is really tremendous. I was secretly rooting for him because all his life he wanted to win the 10 miler. And he was realistically had a shot, but that year he won. So it's kind of the same thing, you know. So he'll be good. All right, guys.
All three of those other guys came from the Midwest. So, he is the only local. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the time.
Look forward to your updates every week.
Thank you for listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Get the latest on the Hoos, basketball, football, and more online at jerryratcliffe.com or at augustafreepress.com.